Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll hear from author Billy Criswell, whose new book broaches a subject few people want to talk about, their love lives. First, though, we're going to spend some time at the Ocean City Boardwalk. Workers are racing to finish a massive reconstruction of the iconic wooden walkway. And as Brian Shane reports, it's looking like a new and improved boardwalk will be ready well before the height of tourist season.
If you visit Ocean City in the summer, you're going to recognize a lot of sounds at the beach. Crashing waves, thumping music, the screams of terror from some of the midway rides. In the off-season, though, this town is a pretty quiet place. Very quiet, actually. Except for the two winters when the silence has been broken by the sounds of backhoes, buzzing saw blades, and pneumatic nail guns. That's because Ocean City is in the last leg of rebuilding its famous boardwalk. The $6 million project will be done in the spring.
It's scheduled for April 15th. I think we'll hit that close. If I'm not done April 15th, I think you'll see it hanging from the 9th Street light pole. They want this thing done, and there's no uncertain terms. It's got to be done, and we'll have it done.
That's Jim Rahak, the contractor whose firm is replacing the entire boardwalk. It's a wholesale replacement. They start from the bottom, tearing up every last plank to reach the sand below. They do this over 1.5 miles of oceanfront, board by board by board. And it's being done in two phases. For the second phase, Rahak and his crew have been working since the end of summer, even in the freezing cold temperatures we've endured lately here at the shore.
We worked through the rainstorms, the snowstorms. We have not stopped. We worked every single day since we've been here. Every work day since we've been here. And that's really key to getting this stuff done. We've always done that, always worked in bad weather. We got the clothing for it and super duper fisherman rain suits, you know.
So the boardwalk work here is done in stages. They're working on about 4 streets at a time. On the north end, they are ripping up the wood that's already there. They are dropping in east to west stringers that are going to hold a concrete base. And on top of the concrete base, they will drop another set of wood. And on the very top, they bang the decking into place.
Our boardwalk in years past, Mother Nature would tell us when we needed to replace it because it would get damaged by storms.
Terry McGean is the city engineer for the town of Ocean City. He's overseeing this project.
Since then, we have a nice problem of a boardwalk that's suffering now from old age and has not been destroyed by storms.
It's been nearly 30 years since Hurricane Gloria essentially wiped the boardwalk off the map, leaving the town scrambling to rebuild. Terry McGean says the biggest difference between then and now is that this new boardwalk doesn't need to be put on pilings. Those would be the massive wooden supports that look like telephone poles.
And the simplest way to describe the difference is the old boardwalk was built like a bridge. The new boardwalk is built more like a railroad track, and that allows us to significantly increase the weight limit of the type of vehicles that we can put on the boardwalk. So it allows us to put fire trucks, do a lot more parades, put a lot more heavy equipment on there that in the past we would not have been able to allow.
In 2008, there was a 9-alarm fire on the boardwalk. Because the boards didn't have the reinforced structure being put in now, fire trucks had to park kind of around the side of the building, made it very difficult to put out that fire. Over the course of the entire project, workers and scavengers and people with metal detectors have all found old coins and trinkets and bits of jewelry that fell between the cracks over the years. McGeehan said the workers are even finding pieces of the boardwalk that have been there since the 1930s.
The boardwalk has been around almost as long as Ocean City.
Ocean City Mayor Rick Meehan has visited the boardwalk almost every single day since he moved here as a teen in the late 60s. He likes to think of the boardwalk as Ocean City's version of Times Square. He was also a vocal proponent of keeping the boardwalk wooden, at a time when the town was considering other materials for the reconstruction, including concrete and plastic.
But it is the most public area other than the beach in Ocean City, and it's a true destination point. And I think that everybody that comes to Ocean City at one point during their stay they make a trip to the boardwalk.
When they're finished, gone will be the expanse of gnarled, gray, splintered planks, home to hundreds of millions of footsteps and countless memories made. The boards underfoot will be reborn, crisp and clean and smooth, for another generation of Ocean City tourists to fall in love with. I'm Brian Chain.
Just a few years ago, self-publishing a book wasn't highly valued in the writing world. If you were a writer of note, some publishing house would give you a deal. That was the common conception. But that's all changed, as self-publishing is not only growing in popularity, but also in credibility. So books on subjects that may have been previously shunned by the publishing world are out there, and some of them are becoming great success stories. My next guest is hoping that her first novella will become one of those great success stories on a subject that is universal, but often taboo.
I'm Billy Criswell, and my book is A Moment with Each of My Lovers.
So when I read the title, it struck me as, wow, she couldn't possibly be going there. Like, is this a fictional tale? But very quickly, you realize that this is your story, and you're spending a moment with all of the lovers that you've had and all the men that have come through your life. Tell me about where the idea came from and your own struggle with actually putting pen to paper and going there.
Well, the idea came from a very simple afternoon outside with a friend of mine who said he really wanted to spend a moment with each of his lovers, past and present. And I thought that was a really cute idea. So I just wrote it down, threw it in a file, and kind of started writing it as I went. And I found that as I did, this story just kind of naturally poured out of me. And I started compiling lessons that I had learned from each lover. And some of them were a surprise even to me. And I finished it really quickly and was really excited. I hadn't been that excited about something I'd written in a long time. And I sent it off to a cousin of mine who hated it. She absolutely, it was the most abominable thing she had ever read. And in an email meant for someone else that got sent to me, I learned exactly how much she hated it. And I became completely embarrassed about what had happened and that someone would think that this was so outside. She called it unrelatable, which as a writer, you don't want to be a person who can't relate to other people. So I just became completely humiliated and I felt that I must have done something really, really bad. So I just put it away.
Were you more concerned about your cousin disliking the writing and the content or your personal story and what you had gone through in your life?
She actually didn't comment about the writing at all. She was so dismayed by the content and she felt that it was just really crass and I guess perhaps it was, but no, she actually didn't comment on the writing at all, which I guess is a good thing.
So you sat on this novella, and we would say it's a novella. It's a little over 100 pages long, and you're only releasing this digitally, so on your Kindle or your Nook, what have you. It's a little under 100 pages, so it's a quick read, and it is quite tawdry, and it's you know, often you know, a subject matter that many people would often not go into, especially not somebody who's married. So that's the first question, you know, when I read this and I was like, I wonder what her husband thought about her going back through her past, you know, love life and being so vivid in the descriptions of your story.
First of all, I'm really lucky in that my husband doesn't read anything that I published, but I also wouldn't publish anything that he didn't already know about. I'm not much for the surprise tactic in the marriage arena. But, you know, he's really comfortable with himself, and so am I. So for him, I mean, I do write about sex quite a bit. I even talk about him a little bit in my blog, Bossy Italian Wife. So he knows most of the things that I'm writing about. And if there's ever a question of something, I always run it by him first. And, you know, talking about sex does seem to be a taboo subject for a lot of people. A lot of people are very uncomfortable talking about it, which I didn't know until I was an adult. Because in my household growing up, I was raised by a therapist. So this was normal. We had conversations a lot about this kind of thing. And when I became an adult and started talking to my friends, it was only then that I realized this wasn't the way all people were, which is something that's really unique. And I think that the more people are able to talk about these things, the more comfortable they feel with them, the more comfortable they are broaching those subjects with their own husbands or boyfriends or wives or whoever.
What's been the reaction since this book has come out and people are reading it, and not just the reaction to you as the author, but the content itself? Does it make them think about their own conquest or their own journeys through sexuality and becoming who they are today?
All the reactions I've gotten have been really, really positive. And it does make people kind of look back. I've heard a lot of stories about other people's sex lives since I wrote this, which is probably one of the best things. But one of the best reactions I got was from a 65-year-old woman who I do Zumba with. And she said, "You said what we have all been thinking." And I thought that was great because, you know, certainly my cousin's opinion was very, very reactionary. She was very upset. But to know that it is relatable was great, because I think everybody has these experiences. I've always kind of had this feeling that if I'm experiencing something, that other people are having this experience too.
Right.
And I think that's a universal experience. Sex and love are such universal themes that many of us can relate, and some of us can't, and some of us like to look in on what we can't relate to. So I think either way, people are finding common threads to their own lives. Yeah.
Did you find, as you were writing this, that, you know, sort of aha moment about your own journey that maybe you didn't think of before? It's been said before that you kind of pick up things along the way, and you find in the people that you've been with in the past what you really want for your future. Did you find that in writing this book?
Yeah, I did. And what's funny is I learned how different all of my lovers were. Like, they're completely diverse group of people, and they're not as similar as one would think. I don't think I have quite a type like other people might. I did learn that there were a couple of things that really kind of stood the test of time. One of my first boyfriend I ever had always said, "You don't have to agree with me, but you have to support me." And that was a huge lesson that really, really stuck with me and has benefited me immensely in my marriage. Also, one of the kind of themes that runs through the book is, like, I dated all these guys and their mothers just did not like me. And it just bothered me so much. And I think when I started dating my husband and his family really liked me, it was such an awesome thing for me that I would never have been able to go back after that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there were definitely things that, you know, everybody learns from their lovers. There were definitely things that I realized I learned in hindsight that I maybe didn't absorb at the time.
Yeah. So it seems that you got a bit of clarity in writing this book on, you know, that part of your life that oftentimes many people, once they get married, they just kind of shut that door and never really broach that subject again. Do you think that people, when coming across your novella, will open that door to a closed part of their past? Or do you think that, you know, before they open that door, that they should be worried about what they might find when they go in there?
I think it's a great subject because I think people, they do sort of put these things to bed. And I think, you know, we've all done things we're not proud of. We've maybe cheated on an ex-boyfriend or slept with a friend's ex-boyfriend. You know, these are a couple of things that, you know, I had done in the past. And I think that the best thing is that we do move forward. And I always kind of say, if you can look back at where you've been, you have a better idea of where you want to go. And I think it was a good thing for me to kind of, not to put it to bed, but, you know, to kind of have this look back and then a move forward. Because when I start at the beginning of the book, and especially in editing, moving all the way through to where I now am, it's sort of amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, to go from me at 15 or 16 in the book to me now in my late 20s, married and with my husband for 10 years, I mean, that's a huge leap. So it's kind of fun to see the whole journey from my first boyfriend to my last.
Yeah. Now, you're a freelance writer. You write for a number of publications here on the coast. And you're also a blogger, too. I mean, tell me a little bit about your blog. I've read it before. It talks a lot about, you know, it's really all of your personality. What is it? Bossy Italian Wife, I believe it's called. You talk about everything from canning to cooking to, you know, just things that you like personally. Did you worry that broaching this subject with your book, your past sexual experiences, would make people look at you, you know, as a blogger or a freelance writer differently? Did you ever, you know, worry about that?
Well, I actually used my blog as a little bit of a testing ground. I took a couple of excerpts from the book and kind of dumped them on my blog and thought, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And they were wildly more popular than a lot of the food posts, which I spend hours on, which was a little bit ironic. But so I knew that there was a market. I knew that some of my readers would really enjoy the book. So that kind of boosted my confidence. But as far as some of my local contracts and things like that, yeah, it comes with a certain amount of fear. I mean, when my landlord phoned me and said he couldn't wait to read my book, I almost died. I just didn't know what to say. But, you know, those are the times which you really just gotta dig in, and you gotta just assume that people are going to like what you're doing if you like what you're doing. And, you know, I did read a few inspirational things to kind of get me to that point that talk about, you know, manufacturing yourself. So to insulate yourself mm-hmm. from these kinds of instances where you're putting yourself out there. And I don't think as a writer you can be too afraid of what people think. I just think you have to really go on faith. And it's not always easy.
Yeah. Well, the world of writing is changing. I mean, it used to be where if you self-publish something, it was almost kind of frowned upon. Now, self-publishing is, you know, this wave of the future, so to speak. And you can build your own audience with a blog and then put out a product. And you don't even necessarily have to press it, as you did with this novella. You just released it digitally. Talk a little bit about getting your message and getting the fact that you have a product out there in cyberspace. That, you know, getting it out there, what do you do to market this? Because obviously you're doing this all yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the key. I mean, it's almost exponentially easier to write a book than it is to market a book. And a book of this nature, when you're marketing something that's so racy and you are your brand, it can be a little bit intimidating. I mean, I've sent out a ton of emails. I've called in every favor that I can possibly think is out there. You know, I think you just have to really be persistent, and you have to know that it can take a long time. You know, I'm on like a 2-year plan with this book. You know, this isn't something that's going to happen overnight. You have to keep building. You have to write articles. You have to, you know, blog every day. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into the marketing of a book like this, and it's not an overnight success, and it takes a ton of networking. And I think that's probably the key is just persistence. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what Stephen King says. You know, just keep writing, read a lot, and at some point someone's going to read something you write and really like it.
Do you think that if a man wrote a book like this, that it would just come off as a conquest book?
Yeah, I think probably it would come off as a little more like a conquest book, which is an interesting double standard because, you know, men are kind of seen as sleeping with more women than women sleep with men. And I think it's not necessarily true. It would really depend on how a man wrote a book like this. I think where my womanhood affords me a little more brashness, maybe a man wouldn't be afforded that. So I do kind of like to embrace that without trying to be intentionally shocking, because more than anything, I'm trying to infuse humor into the conversation. It's supposed to be funny. I mean, you know, things that happen in the bedroom when you're a teenager can really be hilarious. So I think that you know, I think comedy is always a really uniting kind of theme, and I think that would be harder for a man to do without sounding perhaps like he was making fun.
That was Billy Criswell, the author of A Moment with Each of My Lovers. To learn more about Billy or her novella, click to our website, wamucoast.org. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City.